Okay, Chevra, if you remember last time we learned, you spoke about Tipas Cholo Shenufla al HaKedera, and what we mentioned is that this is really a suffik in the Gemara in Zvachim, and then there's a Machlekes HaRishonim about whether that Gemara in Zvachim is applicable to Inyanei Kashrus or not applicable. And there are three basic shitas HaRishonim that we noted: the shita of the smag, the smag assumes that everything becomes usur. The shita of the Maharam of Rutenberg, that if I have shishim pa'amim shishim, so it's going to be permitted. And the shita of the smak, who's mechalik between whether it's nafla keneged harotav or keneged harekan, right? Those are the three basic shitos that are quoted. It's interesting to note that Shulchan Aruch kind of moves in two different directions over here. We have a chumra above Se'if Hei, and then in Se'if Zayin, we encounter a kula. And let's just discuss this very briefly. In Se'if Hei, it says, Nahago ha'olam lesa kishanofa ha'dofin shelo keneged harota v'dafim shanofa ba'oso tzad she'eno keneged ha'esh ha'lam nofa keneged ha'esh muter she'esh sorfa u'miyavsho v'oz ha'kdeira na'mishari. So the first din in the Mechaber is interesting and relatively straightforward, which is that the tipa falls keneged ha'esh, so the esh is sarfo miyabshai. In other words, that the keder is even going to be mutter because that one drop is going to be burned up in the fire. The Mechaber tells us the next line that this is true only if it's a davar muat, but if it is more than a davar muat, so then it really is going to become usur. Okay, very nice. Now, what exactly is this chumra? Nahagu ha'olam le'esar. So the pashtus in the chumra is that the food becomes treif. Even though in Se'if Hey, we learned that I could leave it ad she'yitztanin, and it will be okay. But in Se'if Vav, we have the super duper chumra that when it falls keneged harekan, everything becomes treif. That is one way of learning it. However, in the Taz and Se'if Katin Chav, the Taz says that this is the way the Iser Veheter learns it. Nonetheless, the Prisha says that you still can be Meko al Yedei Sheyitztanein. The Chumra only is that you have to pour it out right away from the other side. Right? That's basically, right, or I should say it like this. You could be Meko al Yedei Sinun. You should not pour it out even on the other side. Right, that's the way the Prisha learns. So the Chumra is not a Chumra to treif up the food in Gansen. The Chumra is a Chumra, just don't pour it off while it's hot, even on the other side, as opposed to the first Mahalach, which is saying that the Chumra is a Chumra in Gansen. Now, the Goyin in Os Chav Tes agrees with the Mahalach that Sinun will still help. Right, the Taz leaves it as two opinions. The Shach agrees with the approach that Sinun will help. So even on this Chumra, the Chumra is not saying that everything is going to be Aser. Right? As opposed to the Iser Veheter's approach to the Chumra, that everything becomes Aser when it's Nafal Keneged HaRekan, the second Mahalach in the Taz, which is agreed upon by the Shach and the Gra, is that Lamaisa, things will end up being kosher al yedei tzinun, right? And the only chumra is don't pour it on the other side. Now this is somewhat relevant because when I encounter Se'if Zayin, I run into Se'if Zayin that b'shas hadchak, for example, erev Shabbos, the Shach adds that a case of Archim, or a case of hefsed meruba, or a case of ani, and everything is hakol lefi ra'os enei hamora. In all of these cases, you could be Megal, even if it's Shalom Keneged HaReitav, even Shalom Keneged HaEish, providing that you have Shishim. Now, what exactly is the Kula of Se'if Zayin? What exactly is the Kula? So there are two ways of understanding the Kula in Se'if Zayin. The standard Mahalach is that Se'if Zayin is an exception to the Chumra of Se'if Vav. In Se'if Vav, we had the Chumra that you're not supposed to pour it out while it's hot on the other side, right? Or we have the chumra that everything is going to become treif when it's nafal shalai keneged haraitav, right? Those are two approaches. And Se'if Zayin would be saying, you know what, the Chumr of Se'if Vav does not apply in a case where it's Erev Shabbos or Arachim, etc. That is one approach to learning it. And that's a pretty reasonable approach. However, Elijah Kramer of Vilna, who was super, super smart, right? The Gain has a different mahalach. The Gain says that the kula of Se'if Zayin is going all the way back to the dinim of Se'if Hay. If you remember, we had three shitas of Rishonim that we mentioned in Se'if Hay, but there's a fourth shita in Rishonim, maybe a fifth shita in Rishonim, the Ra'avan will call it. Chuba the Maharam in Rittenberg also quoted something from the Rash. It's not exactly clear what the Rash says, but there is another shita in Rishonim that basically says, you know what? It doesn't become treif at all. Tipas Chol Shanafal HaKedera, nothing happens because there's no such thing as Chanan Bebalua Shebekeli. And therefore, this is what the Goyim says in Os Lamed Dalet. That basically nothing is going to become treif when the Tipas Chalav is Nafal HaKedera. And B'Shas HaDecha, the Goyim is saying that we can rely on this Ra'avan, or we can rely on the, he doesn't quote it, but the Rash and the Maharam, and we could be Mako on everything entirely. Now the reason, the Chaora, why the Goyim cannot learn that the Shas HaDecha is that we're going to be Mako, that the food is kosher, is because the Gon back in Se'if Hay said it's a Davar Pashut that the food is kosher. Right? So therefore the Gon, Se'if Vav says it's a Davar Pashut, the food is kosher when it's Nafal Keneged HaRegon. So therefore the Gon has to come up with this Mahalach where he says that the Kula B'Shas HaDechak is a Kula even on the dinim of Se'if Hay. That's an unbelievable Gon, and it's really interesting. Now, I should add that the Prima Gadim over here notes on the Shach Sifkatin Chavtes that it's not abundantly clear that all these dinim are the same. Is the din Letzarech Archim, Letzarech Shabbos, Hefsen Meruba, is this like a big Shalent or a big Minchas Chinuch family that we're making on all these cases equally? Or is there some hierarchy within these kulas, no? And the Pesachei Tshuva, the Prima Gadim over here says that it's not abundantly clear, and he says that are you right later on in Hanhugis Isiv Heter that Aim Lamaiden Bisha'ar Mekaimis. In other words, that you can't equate all of these dinim. Sometimes we're meko letzerech Shabbos. Sometimes I'm only meko b'makom hefsa meruba. What exactly is called a hefsa meruba? Did we speak about this? The Pesachei Tshuva in Siman Lamed Aleph says it's only considered a hefsa meruba if you lose a shlish of nechasav. No, if it's like a third of your estate, that's big bucks. No, so okay, zozayin. Whatever.
One being that, the other being
Hakol of Hamora. So, I mean, in most cases, we assume that's Hakol of Reos Enei Hamora, and you have to figure out what's considered a. Right, by the way, this is another raya that Rabbanu have to know the Balabatim. Right? Rabbanu have to know the Balabatim. I had a Shiloh from someone in my show who I knew was unemployed, and their toaster oven became non kosher. Whatever it was, the. Someone heated stuff up in the toaster oven, and it was very hard to really. It became really non-kosher. And in theory, we should have had to do a libun on the toaster oven, based on the way it became non-kosher.
Now
a whole,
You mean like take a blowtorch?
Yeah, and the whole toaster oven was like a toaster oven's cost like $75. So the shiloh that was like going through my mind is, can I be making libun kal, right, to save him $75? And I realized, you know, the guy's unemployed. No? The guy's unemployed, right? There's more of a svara to be mekel. It's a legitimate shita in Rishonim. Right? That Liban Kal helps. So that's what I told them in my youth. Again, you have to know your balabatim. You have to know when you can. This is why you also have to learn Be'iyun and all the shitas and know when you can pull out different shitas. Okay, so Zazayin, this is what we have here in Se'if. This is what we have here in Se'if Hevav Zayin. I should note that the Taz in Sivkat and Chaf Beis actually has a very important yisod. The Taz says that if I'm going to be Mekel, if it's Erev Shabbos, or I have some Aruba, whatever, you have to tell the Balabatim that, you know what, ordinarily I'd be Machmer and the Shaila, but now I'm being Mekel because it's Erev Shabbos, have some Aruba, etc. No? That's what the Taz points out. And the reason for that is that the Babatim shouldn't start asking questions. How come sometimes you're Mekel, sometimes you're Matir? Sometimes you're Mekel, sometimes you're Machmer. That's what the Taz says. There are two ways of understanding this problem, that sometimes you're Mekel, sometimes you're Machmer. It could be that rabbis will appear silly, right? And people will start not trusting the Rav. Or it could be that it's considered a davar hatamua. It's also to give a psak that people look at and will say, what the heck? Even if I'm 100% sure of my psak, I think that's really what the Taz is getting at. You have to try to explain stuff. You can't just say usher mutter. You have to really explain why. Okay. This is the beginning of Se'if Zayin. As we go on in Se'if Zayin, we encounter dinim of if I have an irish nizchal. Irish nizchal is something that pours on a surface. Standard irui is irui that goes through the air and it hits something. Now, there's another type of irui, which is an irish nizchal, which is where it lands on a surface, and the Prima Godem notes the Prima Godim notes in Sivkat and Chaf Vav on the Mishpatzos, the Prima Godim notes that even though by Nifsak HaKiluach the Shach is Machmir in Simen Kufhei, but over here the Ramos says by Nifsak HaKiluach, right? Again, even though by Nifsak HaKiluach, right, we're Machmir Kofei, but over here we're going to be Mekel by Nifsak HaKiluach. And the Prima Godim notes that the difference is between Nifsak HaKiluach on top of something and Nifsak HaKiluach when it's not on top of something. If the Nifsak HaKiluach is through the air, so then it doesn't really cool down. So there's less of a svara to be Mekel. But Nifsak HaKiluach, when it's on top of a surface, there's more of a svara to be Mekel. That's basically what the Prima Godim notes. Okay, great. So now, what's the halacha in these cases of an irui she nizchal? What's the halacha? Right, the case is that I have an irui, and the irui is on top of a surface, and then I put down a hot pot on top of that irui. So since we paskin to ta'agvar, so the hot pot that goes on top is only by leya kedei klipa. If it's only balea kidei klipa, so the ochel in that hot pot is going to be permitted. Right? That's the basic halacha that appears in the Ramah. And the Taz and Os Chaf Hei notes, and the Shach is saying the same thing, but the Taz presents it a little more elaborately here. The Taz and Os Chaf Hei notes that this is the opinion of the Hagosh Shari Dura in the name of the Maharam. However, Rabbi Chiyo of Paris says that you need shishim, keneged shishim in the eichel, keneged the zechila. And the question is, why do I need shishim keneged the zechila? Right, lecha ovra, it should be the regular din of tata gevar, and therefore all you can ask is kedei klipa. Why do you need shishim? So the Taz answers that we're talking about a situation where the irui is on top of like a hot stove. No. Like in my apartment, so we have like a pilot light on our stove. So it's always a little bit hot over there, no? So if you have a zechila on top of something that's hot, so that zechila is ki'ilu, it's a kli rishayin. And in that situation, I would need shishim in the pot keneged the zechila. So far, so good? So let's go slowly. In the first eifin, in the ofin of the Ramah, which is the ofin of the Maharam, in that situation I have a hot irui underneath the pot. The irui is still hot, But the Iver is considered a Kli Sheni, the Zechila. She used the word Zechila. The Zechila in both cases is Hat. But in the first Seer, the Zechila is not on top of a hot stove area. So therefore it's considered a Kli Sheni. And even though it's hot at the bottom, the Kli Rishon Agabe Kli Sheni, the Halacha is, Kli Sheni is considered cool. Even though it's really hot in Metzias, it's considered cool. So the Kli Rishon Agabe, the Zechila, is a regular din of Tata'a Gabar. That's the Rambam's Tzir. Rabbi Chiya of Paris's Tzir is that the Zechila is on top of a hot stove. And therefore that Zechila is a Kli Rishon. And therefore it will create a problem. Right? Of course, in the Rabbi Chiya of Paris Tzir, so even if the pot is not hot, it should create a problem. Because once the Zechila is Agabe Akira Chama, so that Zechila is Nidon Kekli Rishon, and therefore even a cold pot should create a problem. And the Prima Gona basically points out in Hachi Nami, right? That it creates a problem even if the pot is cold. Ad kan divrei ha-Prima Gona. Now there are a few ha'aros that we can make over here. Ha'ara one. Let's talk about the Ramos case. The Kira is not hot, but the Zechila is hot. The Zechila is coming from a hot thing. It's a hot Zechila. I put the pot down on top of it. So since Teta'a Gevar, so it's only going to be by Leia today, Klipa, the whole Klipa will be used up in the pot. The food is perfectly kosher, gevaldik. There is a discussion over here which is found in the Prima Gadim and the Mishpatzos Oschafei, which is actually very relevant for veal, no? Everything is relevant for veal. Kola terakula. Irui is only by Leia Kedei Klipa. The reason why Iri is only by Leia Kedei Klipa is because it cools down, no? That's the lumdus of only being by Leia Kedei Klipa. Kli Rishon is Mavliya. Kli Sheni isn't. But let's say I would have an Iri into a hot Kli Sheni. So, b'kahai gavna, I might say that the Iri really is Mevashel, Bekula. Because of the whole lumdus of Iri not being Mevashel, right? It is. And remember, Iri is the same as, according to the way we pass into Ta'a Gvar, when you have Cham Elyon and Kartachon, that's the same as Iri, right? That's why it's Kedei Klipa. But the Minchas Yaakov and the Bam of the Teres Chattas, the Minchas Yaakov says that, you know what, Iri is only Kedei Klipa when it is going into a cold surface. But if I have Iri going into a hot surface, so b'kahai gavna, it's going to be Oser b'kulai. And the reason why it's going to be Oser b'kulai is like a pretty logical svara that it doesn't cool down. Right? Iri is cooler. And because it's cooler, that's why it's only Kedei Klipa. When I'm doing an Iri into something that's hot, it's more than Kedei Klipa Ad Kan Divrei HaMinchas Yaakov. Now, what?
Where's Minchas Yaakov?
Where is it?
Yeah,
the Minchas Yaakov is on the bottom of the Teres Chattas. But it's quoted on our page in the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim Os Kafei. Basically, the Minchas Yaakov says a chama toch tzonein is true only when it's a full-fledged tzonein. If it's a kli sheni, that's not called a tzonein. And the Prima Gadim notes, it's an interesting svara, but it's clear that the Ramah rejects the svara, no? The entire yesod of our Ramah is that I have a hot pot on top of a zechila. The zechila is a hot zechila also, no? But even so, it's going to answer only Kedei Klipa, according to Minchas Yaakov. pardon me, that's not true. That's one ha'ara. The Minchas Yaakov also says that when you have a zechila on top of a stove, but the stove, often their stoves, we encountered this in Pei Zion a little bit, often their stoves had some afer on them, no? The way they would cook is that the soap that they would use, right, would have afer in it. Like the soap that they're using, like clean up pots or whatever, would have afer on it. So the zechila that goes onto afer, the Kohen Minchas Yaakov, will all become pogum and it won't be a problem. But the Prima Godim notes that that might not be correct. You see, maybe Afer is only plagim in Isser when the Afer is there for a long time. And they have a Zechila Gabi Afer. It's like rushing right past it. So maybe there's not enough time for the Afer to be plagim the Isser. Okay. Now, there are a few other points that aren't worth noting. Point one, Rama says, if I have a zechila and I put a hot pot on top of it, it creates a problem. Only to the klipa. We encountered a rule in Kufay called the Dover Gush. Dover Gush is considered like a kli rishon. Shouldn't my pot be a Dover Gush? And as a Dover Gush, shouldn't the pot be a kli rishon that makes the stuff underneath it a kli rishon also? No? Whoa.
Because of
the
gush does.
Huh?
Dover gush makes the thing it touches
into. Dover gush is a kli rishon. Right? L'cha'ora, what that means is, right, if I put, let's say, ketchup on my hot potato in Shabbos, I put a liquid on my hot potato, I have to be choshish for bishul, because dover gush is mevashel, because it's like a kli rishon, right? That's what we saw in Kuf Hei. Right, because there's no defanos makareros, right? Remember this? So if the Dover Gush is a kli rishon, shouldn't the Dover Gush make the milk that's underneath it, like the milk is being heated by a kli rishon, it should all become aser bekulei. So that's already a bam kasha.
But is Dover Gush anything that's solid or just food?
Anything, oh, come on, dude, anything that's solid is a Dover Gush. And there's no skara to me. The skara, the whole din of Dover Gush is that there's no defanos makarerai. So over here, the pot was mamish al gabe ha'esh, right? The pot for sure is not miskarer, right? It's no, if the potato that was inside the pot is a Dover Gush, halachas kama v'kama, toiva mechupelos amoka malenu, the pot itself is a Dover Gush. Bam kasha. So, our dear beloved friend, the Kinyan Deya, has... Right, we're beginning to have lots of friends. Baruch Hashem, we're breaking out of our shell. So, the Kinyan Deya has the following yesod, that maybe Dover Gush is only going to be considered Mevashel together with the din of Teta'a Gevara. Maybe Dover Gush is only Mevashel together with the fact that it's at the bottom. When they have a Dover Gush that's on the top, so perhaps we can contend that it's not mevashel at all. No? I remember Rav Blachman, sure, used to start speaking British occasionally, just like for fun. Right? That's the yesod of the Kinyan Deya.
You say
in English. Fine. Now, im kenim hadavarim, though, you have to disagree with a Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura, if you remember, has like some chumras. One of his chumras is that when you kasher counters for Pesach, you have to make the counter a kli rishon. Because I'm worried that there was a dover gush. Let's say I take a hot lakshan kugel, a hot noodle kugel, I put it on my counter. So my counter was boileya chametz directly. And therefore, I have to kasher it al yedei an even meluban. No? And what I do is I pour a little bit of water on my counter, and then I take a stone and I kasher the whole counter. I have my patent that my wife doesn't like it when I use, which is I use an iron to kasher. It's actually not a bad system, no? You pour a little bit of water on the counter, you just run your iron over it, and basically it all steams up. It's beautiful, no? My wife is right, I'll electrocute myself at some point doing this, but I don't know, so far it's worked. So the problem with this whole Shtikl Taira is that if our friend the King in Day is correct, that Dover Gush is only for the stuff Sha'al Gabav, not the stuff Shemitachtav. So in Erishtins, first of all, the counter never became a problem. Second of all, kashering it with the Evan Maluban doesn't help. No? Because his yesod is at Dover Gush. We only see the idea of the Maharshal regarding Dover Gush is with respect to a item that's on top of the Dover Gush. That's already interesting. Let's go weiter. The Chavistas over here, you have to look at Sivkot and Chof and Chof Gimel, I believe, in the Chavistas. The Chavistas over here has a few Yesodos which are very interesting. Yesod HaRishon of the Chavistas is that we only have to be Mesha'er Keneged the amount of milk that's underneath the pot. No? I only have to, right, let's say the zechila comes from something that's algabe ha'esh. So in that case, I have to be machmir, that's going to asar b'kulay. Right? In that case, it's going to be a problem. Right, let's say I have a half fire next to the zechila. So then it will asar. But it will only asar keneged the amount of liquid that's directly underneath the pot. If I have liquid to the side of it, right, so this liquid I don't have to cheshbin out. And this liquid I don't have to cheshbin out. I only have to cheshbin out the liquid that's directly underneath my cup of coffee. Right? That yesod is something that we encountered already in our Igris Moshe when we spoke about the dinim of liquids. That unlike solids, I consider the entire thing a mechubar and there's going to be a bliya from everything that's attached. But by liquids, it's not really a din of bliya, right? It's a din that I could figure out how much it is, and therefore only the area that's directly underneath. I think that is beferish in the Chavistas.
The Rabbi Yechiel Paris also seems to say that.
Slower.
When Rabbi Yechiel Paris is quoted in the Taz, it also says.
Yeah, only the area directly underneath, and the Hanami. And what that means, the Chaora, it sounds very Reb Moshe Dick. Right? Nachon. Next Ha'ara is the Chavistas and Oschof Beis points out that how come the Rama is so easily being makel over here if I have a Zechila that's not, according to the Taz, as Rabbi Chilmi Paris, the Zechila is not on a Kira that's hot. It's a Zechila on a plain area, and then I put my hot pot on top of it, so it's considered Kli Sheni. And therefore, Kli Sheni only is going to ask a Kedei Klipa. However, we encountered opinions that Kli Sheni L'chatchila is Bailaya, no? So you see over here, not like that. Yeah, next Ha'ara of the Chavistas, third Ha'ara of the Chavistas. How come I'm only worried about the amount of milk that's directly underneath my pot? L'cha'ora, this zechila is on top of an oven. And when the zechila is on top of an oven, so there is lots of bliyas in the oven from beforehand. Don't I have to be mitzdarev all the bliyos? And I should have to be mevatel, not only the stuff that's directly underneath the pot, but all the bliyas that are in the stove from beforehand. So apparently we don't say that. Why not? Why am I not mitzdarev? Why do I not have to calculate the bliyos in the kira? How come I only am concerned with the bliyos in the with the milk itself that's underneath the pot? So the Chavistas develops a yesod based on this. The yesod is that when they have a rule that ein habliya holech mekli lekli below rotav, no? That rule means you need a very significant amount of moisture, says the Chavistas of Katan Chav. If I have an insignificant amount of moisture, so then that's not considered rotav, and the bliya from the oven underneath it will not go into the pot because that little bit of milk is not considered relative. And the Chavos Das proves this because the din of Ein Habliyah Holeich Mikli L'Kli Bo Rotav is the same din like we encountered on Daf Kuf Ches in the Gemara, the Ein Habliyah Holeich Mechaticha L'Chaticha Bo Rotav. Now, in the case of the Chatichas, they have two pieces of meat in the pot. They're presumably somewhat moist, no? You're not cooking beef jerky. Hey, no one cooks beef jerky, hey? So it's presumably somewhat moist. And even so, the blia doesn't go from one chaticha to the other. So you see from here that a little bit of moisture is not considered raitiv. That's what the Chavos Das time is. Now, the Yad Yehuda, this is quoted in the Baalei HaShulchan on page 210. The Yad Yehuda objects to this Chavos Das. He says, one second, let's go slowly. The Bliya doesn't go mikli l'kli b'lo rotiv. But the Bliya in the stovetop is going to go into the milk because you go from kli to an oichel, right? So the Bliya that's in the stovetop will go into the milk. And then shouldn't that Bliya, once it's in the milk, transfer into the pot? Because I could go mikli l'oichel, me oichel l'koi, right? So why don't I do it that way? So apparently the Chavos Das assumes that since the blia in the liquid is only mikayach the stovetop underneath it, so just like the stovetop couldn't transfer to the kli on top, even when it goes through this little bit of moisture, which is not called raitav, it's just a little bit of moisture, even so, it can't transfer because it's like ein hanesa yachol lesar abamakom she isra atzma yachol leilich. That's what the Yad Yehuda says as the Hezbra of the Chavos Das. But the Yad Yehuda himself on page 210 in the Baalei HaShulchan, Yad Yehuda disagrees with that Chavos Das. The Yad Yehuda says when they have a little bit of moisture, that will aser. Now, when the Chavos Das says a teeny bit of raitav is not considered moisture, it's very hard to know how much you need to be considered moisture. Do you need taifeyach amenas lahatfiyach? Right, that's enough that like when I put down my hand will become moist. That's a relatively tiny amount of liquid. Do I assume that's considered raitav when they have more liquid? To be considered right, if I need more liquid than tofeach hamnas lahatfeach? Maybe, I don't know how much I need. No idea. Maybe need more. And the Chalorim can ask the same kasha in terms of the din of kovush kemavushal that we'll encounter later on at the beginning of the kofe. How much liquid is necessary to be kovush? Right? If there's a teeny bit and it doesn't count according to the Chavos Das, so I really don't have the shiurim. I don't know how much counts or doesn't count. It's unclear. Emir Tzah Hashem on Milan Kofei, I have a shtickle Torah to say, so please remind me when we get there. Let's go weiter. The Ramah Paskins, they have a tipas cholov that falls on the top of a pot. So the Ramah writes, it's ki'ilah fell into the pot itself, providing that the pot is already being reiseyach. The pot's already boiling. Now, the Taz objects to this din. The Taz in Os Chavchas, he says, one second, even if the pot already began boiling, but that doesn't mean I could be meiko that the tipas cholov is ki'ilu fell into the entire liquid. Because mehechatesi, at the moment that the tipas cholov fell, there was steam up to the top of the pot. No? Let's say I have a pot cover, right? And the tipas cholov falls on top of the pot cover. It's only considered that snofol l'teicha reitav if I have the pot all the way full up, meaning if I have steam that's hitting the top of the pot cover. But if the steam is not hitting the top of the pot cover at that moment, so then I can't assume that's no fall atocha rotav, and then I have to be choshesh that maybe only the pot cover became milcheg, Right? And then I will say Chanan on the pack cover, and I need to be Mevato Shishim times, connect the entire pack cover, not just Shishim times the Tipa. And based on this, the Taz disagrees with the Rama, and the Taz says it's a Sveika de Oraisa, and I have to be worried that the Tipas Chov that falls on the pack cover traves up the entire pat cover, and I need Shishim connected the entire volume of the pat cover. Adkan Difrei Hataz. Now, Reb Five Cohen kind of works on this Ramah. How come the Ramah uses a Lashon that it's Masko Lahartiach? Why doesn't he use a Lashon Masko Lahaziyah? So that's something that I want to talk about when we do the next Seif. The difference between Resichos and Zeya. Right? But there's a more fundamental issue over here. The Taz is assuming that this case is a din d'oraisa. Why is it d'oraisa? Because the pat cover was b'leia the basar, and the pat cover is b'leia the cholov. And therefore, there's a din d'oraisa that became basar b'cholov on the pat cover. Right? That's what Taz says. Quote is d'oraisa. Is it d'oraisa? Is it d'oraisa to cook the b'leias? Remember, basar b'cholov is only d'oraisa if it's derech bishul. The normal people cook blios. Now, if you ever go to a restaurant and say, you know what, I'm ordering food with like certain types of blios. No one ever does that. It's not their official. People don't care about it. It's not the normal way. Nothing to talk about. In fact, if you look in the Prima Godim, in the Sifsei Das and Oskov, the Prima Godim points out that, you know, the Shach says within the Maharam of Wittenberg that you really need 60 times 61. It's not enough to have 60 times 60, right? And the Prima Godin notes, what's the chiddush of that? So he says, well, you know, we have the Rambam who says he assumed the Rabban and Yemavata with 59. So I would have thought that cooking blias is only in this with the Rabbanon, and 59 is sufficient, says the Rambam over there. Then you need 60 times 60, 60 times 61. Says the Shach needs 60 times 61. And the Taz over here is also assuming there's a din d'oraisa on cooking the blias. Both the Prima Godim and Oschav, his diok in the Shach, and the Taz over here in Oschav Ches, they're both assuming that cooking blios is a din d'oraisa. Gentlemen, we have to run so that we can get mincha, but we should have a wonderful, blessed day, a marvelous Shabbos, and only good things.